Hello and welcome to another podcast episode. I'm joined today by Brendan from Master Talk. Brendan, would you like to introduce yourself?
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Mark. So my name's Brendan. I'm the founder of Master Talk. I make YouTube videos on public speaking and communication. And how I got started was when I was in university. I used to compete in these things called case competitions. So think of it like professional sports, but for nerds. So basically what happened was while other guys my age ate chicken wings and played sports and watched sports, I ate those same chicken wings, but I presented and watched people present for fun. So I know this is weird, but I did that for 3 years, presented over 500 times, coached a bunch of people on public speaking. And then when I started working in the corporate world, I asked myself the following question, which is how do I transition my time and my expertise to add value to people? And that's when the idea of to make videos started, and then one thing led to another, and here we are today.
Excellent. So you have your YouTube channel, Master Talk?
Exactly.
Which you've been doing for a couple of years now?
You got it. So I've been coaching for 4 or 5 years, and I started Master Talk a year and a half ago.
Excellent. So what was it that made you decide to start a YouTube channel?
Yeah, I think for me it was a lot of the people I was coaching in university kept asking me the same question, which is, Brendan, how did you learn how to speak? And my answer was always simple. I don't know. I kind of just practiced a lot, figured it out, did what I could. But after the 10th person asked me that, I kind of just asked myself, what else is out there? What kind of resources are available for people? So I went on YouTube and I started looking at a bunch of these presentations, a bunch of these tips. And frankly, a lot of the stuff available was terrible. You had PhDs in communication who would make videos on how to manage their vocal tones. And it would sound something like this. Hey, Mark, today we're going to learn how to manage vocal tones. And I just said, he doesn't even know how to manage his own vocal tones. So those are some of the things that I saw in the market, Mark. So I just started making videos in my basement, essentially. And then I just got better on camera over time. And I just said, I should probably take this more seriously. And then one thing led to another. And, you know, Master Talk is what it is today.
Excellent. So do you see clients individually on a one-to-one basis? Or do you have like a group program?
Yeah, absolutely. So I coach a lot of people one-on-one for my elite program. This is mostly CEOs that are usually in that program. Mm-hmm. And then you have my group coaching pro, which is mostly for everybody. But what I'd recommend for people to do at the beginning is to actually not invest in a program, is to first watch a lot of the free videos that I have, or, you know, podcasts on public speaking, read books. We could talk about book recommendations as well. And then after, as you start to get more confident, you say, now I really want to take my public speaking to the next level, then you could look at investing into a program.
Excellent. So what books would you recommend to people?
Yeah, just one in particular. So I'm very unconventional. I don't really recommend the Dale Carnegie stuff. What I recommend instead is a book called Thirst by Scott Harrison. Mm-hmm. So Thirst is a great book because it tells the story of a nightclub promoter who ended up becoming one of the leading voices in sanitation and clean drinking water. But what's interesting about Scott's journey is his ability to leverage marketing and storytelling in the way that he communicates his message and in the way that he sells his charity. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of advice that I've used from his book in all the workshops I give to my clients. So I highly recommend you all check out Thirst by Scott Harrison, especially if you're someone who wants to make an impact in the world.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So he talks about storytelling.
You got it. So I'll give you an example. Most of the experts that we have on storytelling, which are very good, you know, Nancy Duarte, Donna Miller, Joseph Campbell, all these great people. But the difference with Scott that I think is he applies it. He doesn't just say, hey, Mark, this is the framework, figure it out. It's, no, this is the framework and here's how I apply it in my business. This is how I use it. So a good example is he made a 20-minute documentary on YouTube called The Spring Documentary that you can all check out. It's free. But what's interesting is that his budget for the video was $50,000. But the money that he accumulated and raised for Charity Water was in the millions because he was able to use effective storytelling in the video to compel anybody who watched the video to donate money to the cause. So it's that type of ingenuity and that ability to take a story and bring it to life, whether it's through video, through spoken word that we're doing right now. So there's a lot of tools and inspiration that you can get from Scott's work that you can apply back into what you're doing.
Fantastic. So what would be an example of the story? Can you tell us a bit about his story? Because that's quite a powerful, obviously quite a powerful story if he can raise millions from it.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically what he does is he talks about his journey from beginning to end. So, you know, he grew up in a relatively poor medium class family. His mother got sick at a very young age, so he had to take care of her. She wasn't even allowed to be around people anymore. It was really that bad. Then he went on to join a band. Then he became a nightclub promoter. And then after that, he got an epiphany in his life and he said, I want to change what I need to do in society, what I need to contribute. So he went on a ship, not like a cruise, like a charity ship. So it's not very fun. And then he learned about this problem. You know, most people don't have access to clean drinking water in the world. And he wanted to do something about it. So that's kind of a good summary. But I think what stands out from a public speaking coach perspective is the authenticity and how he tells it, in the emotions that he parlays in the story. A lot of people, when they brand charities, they usually focus on the guilt. They go, you need to donate to this charity, Mark, or else you're a bad person. Whereas what he does instead is he uses hope and inspiration. So he says, there's a party going on over here where we're all trying to help a bunch of people. Do you want to join the party? We would love for you to be there. So it's a different way of messaging, and it's a different way of speaking to your donors in a way that's inspiring rather than guilt-filled. So that's what I want people to focus on, is those are the types of lessons that I got from him, is looking at the same lens completely differently.
Yeah. So people want to know what's in it for them as opposed to making them feel bad. So he makes them know that they can feel good by donating to his cause as opposed to trying to make him feel bad for not donating to it.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So what's the main challenge that you find people have when it comes to public speaking?
Yeah, I would say the biggest one is that most people don't know how to practice it, Mark. So let's say, for example, you take a new skill, piano, basketball, camera, photography, anything really. When you stem from that, even if all of the skills are different, the underlying logic is the same. So let's say you take piano. It's your first lesson. Sure, you're probably going to want to practice one song. Sure, you can practice 50, but it's going to take you a long time for getting one of them right. But if you practice the same song 50 times, you can show off to your friend and say, look at the song that I can play. I'm the best. This rationale, this ability to be an expert in one small thing to give us confidence, zero confidence coach, to do everything else in our lives. We don't do that enough in public speaking. It's Wednesday, your client, your boss, your teacher looks at you and says, Mark, I need a presentation for Friday. You kind of say, okay. So you get some slides together, punch them in, you put 20 hours of work, you finally have the courage to present it, and then you crumble it up and you throw it in the dustbin and you move on to the next presentation. Whereas the best speakers in the world present the same thing hundreds of times. So you want to create a repeatable presentation that solves a problem for somebody else that you can present for years. And that's how you master communication.
Excellent. And by repeating it, you build familiarity with it. And like you say, you're more confident when it comes to presenting it. You don't have the anxiety there. It becomes unconscious competence, right?
Exactly. So for example, if you present 100 different presentations, you're always asking yourself the same question, which is, what should I put in the slide deck? What content should I put in here? And you don't go beyond that, because by the time you ask the second question, it's already time to present. But if you present the same thing 10, 15, 20 times, what happens is you ask a different question, which is, I wonder what emotions I'm conveying in this presentation. I wonder how my audience is perceiving what I'm saying. Are my slides okay? Should I change the color? Should I make them better? But then when you do it 300 times like I have, then you ask much more advanced questions. What vocal tones am I using in the 12th second of my presentation? How is my audience reacting to slide number 7 and joke number 2? See, now what's happening is you're refining your craft until everything becomes perfect.
Excellent. So, what's the most kind of successful presentation you've given, do you think?
I would say it was probably a keynote I gave before the whole global situation happened in January. Mm-hmm. Presented to 350, 400 kids. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm proud of that presentation is because 15 minutes before the presentation, the director came up to me and said, can you present it in English and French? And I just said, what? So I had to kind of come up, 'cause I speak French, but I mean, like, I didn't prepare it in French. So I had to get up there and still deliver it. I still did a good job. So I think the idea is I'm always proud of the presentations that I kind of have to figure out as I go, that those are usually the ones that I'm most proud of. Not usually my best presentations ever, but definitely my most successful relative to what the conditions of the presentation were.
Excellent. So did you give like one sentence in English and then the other in French? How did you do that?
You got it. You got it. That's exactly how I moved about it. So I would start with I kind of separated the presentation into the parts that I knew I could say in French and the parts that I weren't sure. So the parts that I weren't sure I could do in French, I just did them in English. So one slide I would do in English, another slide I would do in French, and I would just go back and forth. And people loved it. So it worked out.
Excellent. So what would your recommendation be for people that wanted to get into public speaking?
I would start with the repeatable presentation. So a question I get a lot, Mark, is, you know, people come up to me and go, Brendan, I work at a bank. Mm-hmm. What's exciting about that? You know, I got a presentation to give on Friday, then I got to get this, you know, project deliverables the week after. But what I always reply with, let's call her Julia as an example. What do you do outside of work, Julia? And she might say things like, you know, I love to run marathons. I love to take care of my kids. I love baking recipes, you know, making cool food and stuff like that. Or, you know, anything that Julia's into. But I would tell Julia is she just gave me three repeatable presentations. Then she's confused and she's like, why? What do you mean? I go, well, you could make a presentation on your passion for running and how marathons changed your life and transformed them. You can make a presentation on family and the tips that you have for future parents who don't really know how to raise kids, which is everybody. And number three, you can make a presentation on your favorite recipes. What does this do? It creates a problem that you're solving for somebody else. So let's say you present the marathon presentation to your kids and your husband. Let's use Julia as an example, or her wife. It doesn't really matter. If one of those three people comes up to her and says, oh, you know, you really inspired me, Julia. I want to start running tomorrow. They start running. Then Julia's going to get excited and say, what if I present this to 10 people? What if I present this to 100 people? What if I get better at this slide? Or what if I present it this way? And then you're on your way.
Excellent. So would you, like, some people want to make a career from speaking and being kind of motivational speakers. A lot of people have a dream about being like Tony Robbins. What would your advice be to those kind of people?
I'll keep it really simple. If you're not willing to speak 300 times for free, you'll never become a motivational speaker. I think that's a good way of thinking about this. There's a very big difference between someone who speaks and mm-hmm. someone who goes pro. So someone who goes pro is someone who just loves speaking. So just to give people an idea, just today, I'm on 8 podcasts. Wow. I'm not getting paid. I'm not getting paid to do these podcasts. I won't get any clients. So why am I doing this? Because the message for Master Talk matters. I want more people to know about my free YouTube content. And mm-hmm. I do like 25 of these every week for free, right? And it was only after my 250th keynote that somebody wanted me to wanted to pay for it. And I just said, really? Yeah, sure. So the idea is, much like being a YouTuber or being a podcaster, which I'm sure you can relate to, Mark, mm-hmm. if you're not willing to record 15 episodes, you'll know very quickly if you want to do podcasting or not. If you're not willing to do 8 videos on YouTube, you're not willing to just take a phone and just record at the beginning.
Yeah,
you're probably not meant to be a YouTuber. So the key is not to figure out what you want, but rather what you don't want. Mm-hmm. And by figuring out what you don't want, you can move on to the thing that you actually want to spend your time doing.
Excellent. So most of your clients are CEOs, you say. Are they, any of them, you know, have they made a career from speaking? Have you got any clients that, you know, would say that speaking is their career now?
Good question. It's a mix. So there's one in particular that speaking has become a career for them. But for most of them, it's mostly just pitches. So let's say you're the CEO of a company mm-hmm. and you want to share a product or service that you care that's revolutionary, but you can't explain it in a simple way. What happens is, if I help you with that pitch deck, then you can share that message out with more people so that more people will know about your transformative product or service. And then you change the world in that way. Mm-hmm. So those are mostly the people I work with, like technology CEOs, speakers too, but mostly people who have a very high incentive and have something important to share. So that could be the CEO of a movement, like, you know, the water crisis, charity water, or it could be the CEO of something that a tech company or something that has a product or service that's worth sharing. So those are the types of people I'd focus on.
Excellent. So you speak on 25 podcasts a week. What's your tips for finding podcasts to speak on?
Yeah, the key is something simple. Have something valuable to share. You know, if I joined this podcast and I said, hey, Mark, I'm a motivational speaker. I talk about motivation. What do you think? You're going to say, like, that's not useful. Like, my audience can't take away anything from this. So my advice first is figure out what your unique contribution to the world is. One. Two, create free content on that unique contribution. Two. Three, pitch that unique contribution so that they have no choice to bring you on their show. I am the only person who's pitching people on podcasts to talk about public speaking mm-hmm. with no sales. Like, no sell. It's just YouTube. Enjoy my free content. So when people watch my YouTube video, not my pitch, not the words that I'm saying, when they watch one of my videos, they go, we got to bring this guy on. Mm-hmm. Right? This guy has something to share because I'm already being generous with my content. If you're a coach and you don't share free content with people, I don't think you should be a coach. That's my personal opinion. Because mm-hmm. if you're not willing to help people who can't afford you, why should you expect anyone to pay you for what you have to offer?
Yeah. And in the, you know, modern sort of world, people expect stuff for free, don't they? A lot of people work on the kind of freemium model, especially via YouTube. They give away a lot of information and then people, like you say, want to work with them.
Exactly.
So how can people get in touch with you if they want to work with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I always tell people is I'm not famous like Mark over here, so feel free to just send me a message on Instagram at MasterYourTalk. I answer all my DMs. If you have any questions, concerns, insults, don't be shy to just send them over. Always happy to learn, always happy to grow. And if you want to check out my YouTube videos where I share all of my advice for free, all my best public speaking tips in the book, it's MasterTalk in one word.
Excellent. I subscribe to your channel. So.
Thanks, Mark. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brendan.